during the Battle of Sitka in 1804, the Kiksadi clan fought for the land where the city now sits. They lost their gunpowder supply in an explosion while transporting it to the Fort of the Young Saplings, located at what is now the tip of Sitka National Historical Park. They were forced to retreat and cede this land to the Russians. The Kiksadi left behind their homes and possessions, including their clan regalia, to withdraw from the fort. Louise Brady says much more than that was lost in the battle. We're walking into the wooded park toward an empty field where the fort once stood. A lone totem pole marks the site.
My ancestors' blood is on this land, and that's how much we value being Kiksadi and being from this land, being a part of this land and this place. So we can remember all of the people who died and all the people who fought for us to be able to continue to be who we are as Tlingit people.
Brady is the operations lead for the Sitka National Historical Park, where the fort once stood. Last Friday, she organized a mourning ceremony to remember her Kiksadi ancestors that fought and died for this land. She says the fight that took place in Totem Park still has relevance to modern-day Tlingit people. It's just one of the many battles that have taken place since Russian colonialism and American governance. For her, the Battle of Sitka is a story of strength and resilience for Native peoples fighting those battles today.
Sometimes I get tired. And when I do, I come out here and I remember my grandmothers that fought alongside my grandfathers. And I think, you know what? I haven't had to pick up a gun. All I've had to do is say some words in front of some maybe hostile people. And I think it's important to remember how hard we fought to be here.
People attending the ceremony gather at the base of the totem pole that now stands where the fort once stood. When the ceremony begins, the air around the crowd turns somber. At times, the only audible noise is the seagulls at the mouth of the Indian River in the distance. Their cacophony seems to cease when Kiksadi members sing sorrowing songs to remember the Battle of Sitka. This song was created by a Kiksadi woman mourning the loss of her maternal uncles in the battle. In times of grief, they would comfort her. But now, no one is there to console her when her child dies. While the Battle of Sitka took place over 200 years ago, Lisa Gassman says the feelings of loss are still very present to Tlingit people today.
Yes, when they started singing the songs, and I'm going to get emotional here now, it just shows the tie that we still have to this land. It shows why we won't go away. It's important that people understand that tie cannot be broken, and it won't.
Gassman is the general manager of Sitka Tribe of Alaska. She says the tribe is taking on more responsibilities in the management of Sitka National Historical Park. In 2018, they signed an agreement with the National Park Service to manage interpretation programs. After the mourning ceremony, they renewed that agreement for the first quarter of 2019, with a plan to expand their role. Here's Gassman.
We're excited to be back on our land and working with the Kiksadi people, the clans that were here at that time, and remembering that history, but also looking forward.
In 1994, the Federal Indian Self-Determination and Education Assistance Act was amended to let tribal governments pursue funding agreements for projects and programs on lands culturally connected to the tribe. Sitka Tribe is not the first to enter a funding agreement like this, but they are the first to manage history education programs and interpretive talks at a national park. Bert Frost is the regional director of the Park Service's Alaska office. He says the members of Sitka Tribe of Alaska are much better prepared to tell the story of what happened at the park in 1804.
Having members of the Sitka Tribe do it, they can bring a level of a detail and passion and understanding that park rangers don't have.
Louise Brady wants events like the mourning ceremony to attract non-Native and Native people alike. She hopes cross-cultural events will help ease tensions between communities of different backgrounds.
For whatever reason, I think there's just a lot of misunderstanding and miscommunication that probably started from day one of contact. It serves people well to come and witness this and to really get a better understanding of how closely we're connected to this land.
Brady says Tlingit people have become more welcoming to non-natives in recent years and are more willing to talk about their experiences as Indigenous people. All we need to do is listen. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Enrique Perez de la Rosa.